This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Sean Kenny is the Director of Communications for the Republican Party of Virginia. Danae Jones is the Director of Communications for the Democratic Party of Virginia. And they join me on long lines from different points across the Commonwealth. Good afternoon to you both.
Good afternoon.
Thanks so much for spending some time with us. We always look forward to chatting with you. Sean, the first sentence in a editorial recently in Charlottesville Daily Progress reads, "Virginians' fury at abusive driver fees burns white hot today." And tell us, what has been the reaction? We've been watching, you know, individual reactions from different politicians across the state. A lot of finger pointing, a lot of running away from the abusive driver fees that, what, 100, I believe Bob Gibson told us, 114 members of the General Assembly voted to support. From where you sit, what's happening with this issue? Because it looks like it's not about to go away tomorrow.
Well, no, it's not about to go away tomorrow. And again, we discussed this last time on the program. This is one of those issues that cuts across party lines. Governor Kaine and Speaker Bill Howell both had their press conference in support of the abuser fees. On the flip side of the coin, you have Delegate Brian Moran castigating both Republicans and Democrats for support of the bill, ostensibly in support of a gas tax. And then on the other side of the aisle, you have Delegate Bob Marshall, who's leading the charge for a repeal of the abuser fees in courts. Henrico County, of course, went ahead and struck down the abuser fees, much to the consternation of both the governor and the speaker. But that's where it remains at the moment. It doesn't appear as if the governor is going to call a special session. He's repeatedly said that he will not. This is the way it is. I think that at this point it seems as if the governor and the House are both going to sit quietly and see what kind of effect these abuser fees really have on drivers, whether or not we have safer roads at the end of the day, or whether or not the fees are too punitive. That's a better question for policymakers to make rather than the state parties, but there it is nonetheless. It's just a matter of time. The anger is palpable. It cuts across party lines. But it's not going away, and it doesn't appear as if the governor or the Speaker of the House will be budging on this issue.
Danae Jones with the Democratic Party of Virginia, your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are that everybody recognizes that there are problems with the abuser fees, including the governor, and he said as much. He's also said that he is perfectly willing, come time for the General Assembly session, to take a look at what comes to his table in way of fixing the abuser fees. So to one extent, Sean is right. There's little that we can do right now except sit and wait and make people's voices heard. But come session, we'll see what happens. I mean, it's going to work its way through the courts, of course. But there's little that we can do until the policy changes.
Sean, what do you think we're going to see in January? We're going to see some folks, we're going to see a lot of headlines about these abusive driver fees in January. I'm sure we'll see more as we move closer to the election. We'll see a bunch in January. Are we going to see a tweaking and sort of we're going to figure out, try to apply this to out-of-staters, which exactly how you would do that is beyond me. I don't see even how that's possible. But are we going to see that? Or you think Delegate Marshall's proposal to repeal this thing might have such broad support on both sides of the aisle that we might actually see them pull these things off the table?
The short answer to that is no one knows. I think that you know, echoing Danae's sentiments, and it's amazing. We're both pretty much in almost concert on this one.
How about that?
But
almost.
We really have to wait and see. I don't think either parties, either the bases or the parties themselves, are happy with the abuser fees as they stand right now. But this is what happens in compromise. You arrive at these kind of conclusions at the end of a compromise, and you get issues like this, which are thorny, and you get other items like approving bonds that sail through. So, at the end of the day, in January, will General Assembly revisit this? Absolutely, they will. As to what the outcome will be, that'll be up to the members of the General Assembly and ultimately to the governor.
We had a caller in the last hour, and I just want to sort of echo something she said. Betty called in and said, in all this talk about the abusive driver fees, let's not forget what the whole point of it was to address a crumbling transportation infrastructure. And we were tragically reminded last week what a crumbling transportation infrastructure can possibly look like. People can lose their lives when a bridge is collapsed and not enough money is put into maintaining an old bridge. And certainly Virginia has its share of old bridges. And we applaud the folks with our government who are taking a hard look at where exactly those are. Where are these bridges in need? But, you know, we've got a whole lot of bridges that are crumbling. We've got a lot of roads that are crumbling. And I'll tell you, Sean, I was down in Virginia Beach Saturday speaking to the Republican Party of Virginia Beach. And when I left on Saturday morning, I was at their breakfast. It took me 2 hours to get from Virginia Beach to Williamsburg, over 2 hours. And talk about a transportation infrastructure that can no longer really serve the people that it's trying to serve. I applaud anybody for coming to the table and trying to figure out a way to pay for this. But the real bill, we've been told, is, you know, $4 or $5 billion a year that we need. And it is a pickle. We are in a pickle.
We are, Coy, and without a doubt, we have got a transportation problem in this state. I'm here in Hampton Roads and see it all the time as I try to get from Chesapeake to Richmond in the morning. And the hard and fast reality is, even if we come back and repeal these abuser fees, we're going to have to come to the table with a funding source, whatever happens. And the governor did an excellent job in trying to reach a compromise to get an overall transportation package put together that passed with bipartisan support. But beyond all the politics of it all and all of the posturing with people saying, well, you know, I supported it, and then, well, I didn't support it, and I kind of supported it, we're going to need a funding source to help alleviate the transportation problem in the state. So that will be the challenge when we go back into session.
Sean?
Of course, the counter to this, of course, is that we do have a funding source. We have a state government that absorbs nearly 10% of our income every year. We have a state government that in 2000 was $30 billion biennially. We now have a state government that has $74 billion biennially. Certainly, this is in the lack of funding solutions. Some of the funding solutions, some of the single-source solutions that are being proposed by Democrats such as Brian Moran have been to raise the gas tax. At first, it was just 1.5 cents. I've heard proposals as high as 40 cents being proposed by some of the truckers, figuring that that would be an end-all solution. The problem with a gas tax hike is, of course, A, gas prices are high enough. B, it is a regressive form of taxation. It's not the folks driving Lexuses and BMWs who won't be able to afford a gas tax hike. It's the folks driving Buicks. It's the folks driving Saturns. It's the single mothers with four kids. It's the working families that are struggling to make ends meet. Those are the people that get their taxes hiked the most as a percentage of their income. So, do we need more money for transportation? Certainly we need solutions. But is the solution at the end of the day going to be tax and spend? I'm not so sure. I think there's a lot of structural changes we could make, not only within the state budget, but within VDOT as an organization. We need new ideas. We need a better approach to government than what we've had over the past two administrations. And I think that, overall, no Band-Aid is going to fix transportation. We really need a solution. And hopefully that will come from both parties willing to work in concert and in principle, as the governor was willing to do with the Republican administration. Majority.
We're talking with Sean Kenny of the Republican Party of Virginia and Danae Jones of the Democratic Party of Virginia. Danae, tell us about the General Assembly campaigns. I know y'all are hard at work trying to win some seats back, both in the Senate and in the House. All 140 seats in the Virginia General Assembly are up for re-election come November. And we're in early August now, so we're just about to shift into fifth gear with a lot of these campaigns. They will start heating up towards the end of this month, and certainly in September and October, that's all we're going to be hearing about. It's the General Assembly races. So from where you sit, how does it look?
It's looking really good for Democrats, I think. There's a lot of room for us to grow and make a change in state government. And I think that the voters across the state, be it in Northern Virginia, here in Hampton Roads, or elsewhere around the state, are ready to see a change take place. You know, they're tired of the partisan bickering, they're tired of the obstructionism that is represented and displayed by Republicans, and they want people who are dedicated to working across party lines, like Governor Kaine, to work with Governor Kaine, to continue to move Virginia forward. And I think that that is what we'll see come out of the elections come November.
Sean, are we going to see more Democrats in office come November?
Not if we have anything to say about it. at the end of the day, look, in 2006, the Democrats ran on a platform of change. They were very vague and unspecific about the change that we saw. And, you know, just this week, we saw an excellent display of what that change consists of. On the House floor, the House of Representatives in Washington, we have votes recounted that scream banana republic. This coming from supposedly was supposed to be the most ethical Congress in the history of the United States. It took them seven months to go back 70 years to paper balloting. On the flip side of it, we have Jeff Shapiro, who no friend to Republicans, he's writing stories about Jennifer McClellan, a Democratic delegate who's lobbying on this, as a career, making far more than I'm making. Making laws and then lobbying on behalf of her clients. You have a Democratic Party that's nominated Joe Morrissey to represent the values of a Democratic district. I mean, I don't see the party of ethics rising to the challenge here. We need ideas. We need to move Virginia forward. But the Democrats haven't exactly shown that leadership over their tenure holding the executive mansion. And I don't see them progressing the ball forward. Only under Republican administrations have we seen progress on education. Only with a Republican majority have we seen progress on transportation. It was a baby step, but it's a step in the right direction. And I think that's what most Virginians want to see at the end of the day, a party that's willing to take steps in the right direction rather than engage in the partisanship and bickering that we've seen from Congress and the Capitol Hill. We need change, most certainly, but not the kind of change that the Democrats are offering.
Danae?
You know what? The reality is, for the Republican Party especially, to accuse any other party of a breach in ethics is laughable, and it's not even worth addressing. I mean, we can go over individual cases, but the reality is, for instance, Delegate McClellan's constituents trust her to do the right thing, and she has indicated and she has shown us and demonstrated that she can and continues to do the right thing. So it's just sort of a fireball that I think Sean and Republicans are tossing out there to sort of muck up the waters.
At $340,000 a year,
underway,
Jennifer McClellan represents her constituents.
The progress that we're making in Virginia.
Wait, hold on, Sean. Hold on.
The progress that we're making in Virginia, that people, by the way, are very pleased with, it's under the leadership of a Democratic governor. Under the leadership, by the way, of two Democratic governors. And so I think the record speaks for itself. And as much as you can throw things in to muddy the waters, there's a record that speaks for itself, and it has come under the leadership of Governors Warner and Governor Kane.
Sean?
Well, at the end of the day, I mean, Jennifer McClellan receives $340,000 to represent her constituency, and I'm not so sure it's the voters in her district. It's probably the folks that she receives her paycheck from. Joe Morrissey is a disbarred attorney. He's punched judges. He served time in jail. He was actually turned away from receiving a license to practice law in Australia. I mean, this guy isn't just statewide. He's not just national. He's an internationally known culprit. You have Creed Eads, who tries to put forward his bill at the very end of General Assembly so that he can run for governor while working for lobbyists. It's easy to go ahead and stand on for change. It's easy to go ahead and say that you're standing by ethics. But when you take a good look, and I'm not saying it's representative of all of the Democrats, nor am I saying that the Republicans have a corner in the market. But when you look pound for pound, and you look at the ones that have these problems, by and large, the Democrats stand out as being uniquely in a position where their rhetoric doesn't match their results.
Sean Kenney with the Republican Party of Virginia wanted to congratulate you because you have a new boss recently voted in. former Lieutenant Governor John Hager, also a one-time chairman of the State Board of the Sorensen Institute for Political Leadership at the University of Virginia. A very good man, and I'm proud to call him a friend and just a very decent, great Virginian. And I think that he's going to do great things for the Republican Party.
And I he's actually here today, as a matter of fact, working hard. I've heard the legend of John Hager before that few people are able to keep up with him. That legend is true. he's a hard worker, and the great thing about it is I have a soft spot in my heart for Sorensen just because of all the great things they've done for the blogosphere and whatnot, and civility and ethics and politics, and I think that both sides, I think politics in general. benefits from having folks like John Hager in power. He's just a good guy, and he's doing great things for the Republican Party. And I think we're very glad to have him. I think this is a great opportunity for us, and I'm looking forward to the next couple of elections working for him.
Danae, remind us again how folks can get in touch with your office and with a website.
Well, if you want to know more about Democrats and what we're doing in the state, the Democratic Party, that is, and what we're doing in the state, you can go to www.vademocrats.org. And that's how you find out some wonderful things about what's going on and the change that Democrats are trying to make in this state, the projects that we're pushing forward, and all about our candidates who are right along in the mainstream of where most Virginians are right now.
And Sean, how can folks find out more information about the Republican Party of Virginia?
www.rpv.org. It's the Republican Party website. Plenty of good information there. And as always, feel free to email us at any time with thoughts or opinions at info@rpv.org. More than happy to hear them, and we respond to those questions.
Sean Kenney of the Republican Party of Virginia and Danae Jones of the Democratic Party of Virginia. Thank you both so much. Always look forward to it.
Corey, can I say one more thing?
Absolutely.
On our website today, you'll notice, I invite folks to go to the website and check it out. You'll notice quite a tribute to Oliver Hill, who passed away, of course, last night, and made a wonderful contribution to the state and to this entire country, pushing for equality and opportunity for all men and women here in America. And we've got a tribute to him going on our website, and invite others to weigh in with their comments about his contributions.
Thank you for mentioning that. Of course, a great Virginian, a man who changed the course of Virginia history, and one of the pivotal leaders of the civil rights movement, and he will be missed.
And I would say the human rights movement.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much to Nate Jones and Sean Kenney. This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at cvillepodcast.com.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.